Luke chapter number 5. I was thinking while they was singing that about the sparrow, I read this, and it's been years ago, but I got to reading one time, Barbara Jo, and it said this. It said that in order, Trenton, for us to feed all the fowls of the air across the world, that it would bankrupt every single person, that we get all of the world's money together and still would not have enough money to buy enough bird food to feed all the fowls of the air for just one day. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ has been doing it every day since creation began. Never took out a loan, never asked for your help. He's just done it on his own. Amen. And if he cares for them, thank God you can believe he does the same thing for you. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Brother Joshua may mention this is a familiar text. Amen. Luke chapter number 5. And normally I like to read just a verse or two. I'm going to read all 11 verses starting in verse 1. And you just bear with us and pray for us this morning. Bible said, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And to God to say we're thankful to be here would be a vast understatement. God, I can think of a lot of places I could be today, but Lord, I am glad I'm in the house of God. Lord, we could be sitting in an ICU, but Father God, we could be at the mortuary. Lord, I could be in hell right now, but I thank God that by the grace of God and by the help of God, Lord, that I'm saved, Lord, by the grace of God, and we're standing right here where we're at. And Father, I pray that if today is the last time I'd ever get to preach, and the last time I'd ever going to say something for you, I pray again, Lord, help my last thing to be the best thing. Father, I'd ask you, God, you'd stir in the hearts of folks here. God, I pray that you'd strengthen the saints. God, I pray the Lord that the Savior be magnified. And I pray, Father, if there be anybody here that does not know you in a free pardon of sin, and that God, may they turn their eyes to Calvary before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for all you've done, asking you all these favors in Christ name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. One of these familiar passages of Scripture. It's the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't even called everybody that he's called just yet. But my friend, he walks out on this sea. And thank God he's just came out. I like chapter number 4. And the Lord Jesus has just been tempted. And he's just gotten victory. And just came out of there. I healed some, preached some. And now he's about to start calling his disciples. And the first thing he does as he goes and he gets on a boat. If the Lord would help me this morning, I'd like to preach on this subject, on free fishing lessons. Amen. That's some free fishing lessons that you'll find right here in your Bible. Let me say this to you, friend. If we're going to go anywhere with the Lord, you mark her down straight and tall. He's already called those that are saved, and we are to be fishers of men. Amen. And we're not to be crowd growers, and we're not to be talent seekers. But God's given us all the same commission. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And God has commanded us, and my friend has entrusted us with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, thank God, the greatest treasure ever was. And God's given to people like me and you, people that are broke. broken, folks that are messed up. But thank you, look at me, friend. I might be a little messed up, but my God never has. Amen. I mean, we might be a little off kilter from time to time, but the God we're serving in heaven, He's altogether lovely. Amen. And so I start thinking, I want to just point out to you a few things out of this text of Scripture, and we'll stay real close to it tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice is this: if we're ever going to do nothing to something for the Lord, and the Lord begins to demonstrate to them, if you'll have that, at least three different things in this passage of Scripture. And again, I don't know. I don't know how anybody else studies their Bible. I don't know how anybody else talks to the Lord. All I know is this. And when I present my Bible out, I say, Lord, you're smarter than I am. I don't know nothing, and you know everything. I need you to help me. I don't know what the church needs. I don't know what Amazing Grace needs, but I'm trusting that you do. I don't know, thank God, all that, but I don't have to. Amen. That's the blessed part about being a child of God. We don't have to figure it out. Amen. We're serving one who does. I want you to watch it. And the first thing you need to figure out, I hope this will be an encouragement to the saints of God. And the first thing you need to find out is that the Lord's timing can be trusted. And the Lord's timing can be trusted. How many of you know the Lord deeply cares about time? Amen. Now listen to me, friend. He's out of time. And what I mean by that is, thank God, He's timeless. He's eternal. He's immortal. And thank God, He's before time is, and He'll still be after time is. Before there ever was the first second, a tick off, there was God. Amen. And when that angel steps out, comes out of there and steps out and declares time will be no more, there'll still be a God in heaven. Amen. That'll still be very much God. I want you to hear me, friend. And God's a God of time. And even though He's outside of time, I thank God He's always on time. I thank God He's in my time. Let me say it like this. God cares so much about time that He told the nation of Israel, He said, 400 years, you'll be down there and be a stranger. I believe on that 399th year, back then they went by 360 days, 359 days, 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds. I believe right to the very moment, as a God in heaven that brought them out of Egypt and started taking them over to the promised land. I believe whenever God told the nation of Israel that they'd be captive over in Babylon for 70 years, that they were not there for 70 years and a day, that they're there right to the very moment that God had before died. I believe whenever God has said it in Daniel chapter 9 and in Daniel chapter 7 about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God when He'd show up, I believe right on the very day that God had before ordained it, and that when the fullness of time was come, I believe that means right to the very second, and when the fullness of time was come, our God sent forth His Son. I believe He lived just exactly how long He said He would live, at 33 and a half years. He died that death and was dead. Look up here, friend. I believe, thank God, He was searched over for 4 days, and just like the Passover lamb was, I believe, thank God, He was killed at just exactly the same time that the Passover lamb was killed. I believe He was dead and buried, and I believe, thank God, on the third day He came up. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, I want you to understand, I don't know just exactly how much time has passed, but I can tell you this, and the Lord's still very much keeping track. I mean, listen, friend, and you say, why ain't He came yet? Hey, you better thank God, friend. That's the long-suffering of God. Hey, the Bible teaches us, in just a little while, He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. I'm telling you, God cares about time. If there's one thing I wish the people of God would get, it's to thank God you can trust in the timing of the Lord. I want you to watch your Bibles here. Let me just share with you a few things, and I'll try to get it out the way the Lord put it in. Here's the first thing I can show you. In verse number 2, He said, when the 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And the fishermen thought it was stopping time. But the Lord said it's starting time. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. And we're just watching all across the world. And folks getting to think it's stopping time. He said it's time to get out the boat. But look at me, friend. It ain't time to get out the boat. Amen. And we don't get out till the Lord calls us out. And they got out the boat. And they thought it's already over with. It's the time to stop. But the Lord came by. And he said, right now's not the time to stop. Right now ever was a time. How many, if there ever was a time how to get going, it's right now. Everybody, you know, when you start to get my age, everybody starts asking you how you feeling. And they say, boy, things is falling apart. And I thought, I can't speak for nobody else. But I can tell you, for Kevin Sexton, there's something on the inside of my soul that says, if there's ever a time when he's going to get fired up about the Lord and go do something for God, it's right now. Amen. It's not time to stop praising. It's not time to stop preaching. It's not time to stop praying. It's time to start. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. Them disciples, they'd already went and done what they was going to do. And they just stopped. Amen. Everybody look up here at me. Everybody say amen right there. Amen. Everybody, let's do that again. Try that again. Everybody say amen right there.
Amen.
All right, you can do that. Amen. And now listen, friend. It's not time to stop praising the Lord. Amen. It's not time to stop getting behind the Lord. It's not time to just kick her in a neutral and hide alone down the road. It's time to pick up and get on about the business of God. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. And the first thing we find about their timing, they thought it was time to stop, and God said it was time to start. And then I want you to look on down there with me in verse 5. He said, Simon answered and said unto them, Master, we've toiled all the night. Hey, you know what they thought? They thought it was time to rest. He said, we've already been working all night. It's a resting time. And the Lord says, it's not resting time. Amen. And right now it's laboring time. How you think it's time to rest? That's what they're wanting to do. Amen. They're wanting to kick it back and sit down on their easy chair and say, we've done what we've done. It's time to stop. And it's time to rest. Amen. Have a listen. You know when it's time to rest for the people of God? He tells us so in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, there remaineth therefore, amen, a rest to the people of God. And that's Hebrews 2:19. I think, now I think about it, I'm saying simply this, friend. And that, bless God, our resting part is not down here. Amen. It's not time. Listen, friend. I mean, there's so many folks. And you say, well, I'm tired. And well, I'll tell you this, thank God, you ain't near as tired as you think you are. Amen. I have folks all the time. And they say, why, brother? They say, I'm just so tired and wore out. How about you're tired and wore out until somebody comes along and asks if you want to do something you like to do? And then all of a sudden you ain't tired no more. Amen. Hey, you know how it is. I mean, them hunters, you know, they come in from work and they say, well, I'm tired. And then somebody says, hey, you want to go deer hunting in the morning? And all of a sudden they ain't tired no more. Amen. Amen. That's right. And to listen to me, friend. And then it comes time to go to the house of God. Hey, you know, about long, about 5:30. And somebody say, well, we're going to church tonight. And I say, you know, I'm just so tired. Amen. I'm just so tired. Amen. And well, thank God, if that's what you wanted to do, and you just do it. Amen. And that's right. It's just not resting time. And this is laboring time. Amen. Oh, friend, hear me. I mean, one of the great concerns I think we ought to have in our age and in this time is how many folks it seems like. I mean, all across our churches, how this spirit of slumber has taken over, how where folks are just sitting back. I mean, right now's the time, friend, how to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and to labor over souls. How be a day of rest out there somewhere yonder, and you'll get to enjoy it for an endless age. How but right now's not it. How right now's, friend, is time. Right now's time to keep praying. How right now's time. How that, my friend, whenever if there ever was a time, how to fast and pray. It's time to fast and pray right now. If there ever was a time, friend, how that we ought to be out in the highways and the hedges. If we really believe the Lord's coming, as say we say we do, and then this is not the time. Had to simply rest. You say, preacher, I've been toiling. I toil some more, thank God. I just say, I've been working. I work some more, amen. How there'll be a day. I listen, I remember
were just a little feller, hey, you know, Good Friday you'd put to, in our house, and you know how Baptists are in the South, and they're about half full of superstition, and we always believed that you had to plant taters on Good Friday, and so you planted taters on Good Friday, and then you took them up when you took them up, and boy, I remember when we get to those rows, I'd get to looking out a little ahead, and I got to thinking, man alive, I can't wait till I get to the end of that row, amen. Our friend, we're about to the end of the row, amen. How we're about to pick up what we're going to pick up, how we're about to gather in what we're going to gather in, and don't quit in the middle of this thing, and go on for God, amen. Oh, listen, they thought it was stopping time. They thought it was resting time. How about I want you to look at this? You know how fishermen are. You know how Baptists are. I mean, they all think that they know better than the Lord. Here's what the Bible said. And they said, we have toiled all the night. You know when fishing time was? When the best time to go fishing? That was night fishing, amen. They said, that's when you go fishing. You know when you go fishing at night? You know why they go fishing at night? Y'all understand, they wasn't casting out and the open face reel, amen. And they didn't have no jigs on the end of that. And they was net fishing, amen. And so here's how this happened. Oh, they get their little ships. I was thinking about over there when I was in Africa. Hey, you get down there sometime, hey, you would never see nobody during the day. And but as soon as it was nighttime, at little old lake, there'd be thousands of little lights and thousands of little boats out there. And they'd fish all the night. And then you'd find the men, they'd be sitting underneath an old tree. And they'd be mending their nets all day long. And boy, I was just standing right there and I thought, this must have been what it was like. I'll tell you what they done there. So I thought about three reasons why they fished at night. And number one, listen to me, friend. How the fish were more active at night than they were during the daytime. That just makes sense. And number two, how their nets were camouflaged at night. How they didn't have a nylon and see-through net like you get at Walmart. How they had to make their nets, amen. And so they had to fish at night. And then I thought about this. So last one, it just makes sense. As the sun wasn't beating on them at nighttime, amen. That's why they fished at night. But oh, listen. And so they said, the best time for fishing, that's already came and went. This is the worst time to go. And the Lord said, you better go back again, amen. I said, well, listen to me. I mean, I just now I'm surmising here, Jesse. I almost see the Lord say, well, what'd you catch? What'd you catch when it was the best time of your life? What'd you catch in all those times? And whenever you was a laboring, and you was a tooling under your own strength, and you was a doing what you thought you knew to do, what do you got to show for it? And you know what the answer was? Not nothing, amen. I didn't have nothing to show for it. I want you to listen to me, friend. Hey, some folks that, hey, look back over their life, and they ain't got nothing to show for it. I mean, they listen, hear me very carefully right here. Their whole life, friend. I mean, they've been laboring, they've been toiling, but now it's already over. The devil says the best of your season's behind you, and there's nothing else left to do. But I'm glad, thank God, the Lord said, he said, listen, let's just go on back and try it again. In other words, aren't you glad it ain't over yet, amen? I mean, look here, friend. The last chapter of your story has not been written yet. And the first chapter may have been bad, and the middle of the book may have been a little rough, but thank God there ain't nothing like a happy ending, amen? I don't know how I'd find you. All I'm saying is the timing of the Lord is the best time, amen, right now, amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I mean, is there ever a better time than right now? How to go about doing something for God? You can trust His timing. He said, let's go out there and do something. Let's go do something for the Lord. He said, it's the time to quit. It's the time to clean. It's the time to rest. And they said, ain't really no point in going. How the fish ain't biting now, no how, amen. But thank God, listen, I'll tell you this, if we'll just be faithful to what the Lord says, hey, you'll find out God will honor it every single time, amen. Here's what you find the Bible teaches us. I mean, I just got thinking about different folks, and that they thought, boy, that wasn't a very good time. I mean, listen to me, friend. It's always a good time to serve the Lord. Don't you think that's right? And it's not always a good time to preach, not always a good time to sing, always a good time to pray, always a good time to praise. I got Bible that says any moment in time, you ought to bless the Lord at all times. It's always in order how to praise the Lord, amen. And it's always in order to pray. I mean, not always to pray and not to faint. I want you to hear me, friend. Right where we're standing at today, you can trust the timing of the Lord. Hey, you said don't make any sense. Hey, look up there at me, friend. Hey, it don't have to make sense with the Lord. Amen. You just trust God. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I thought about so many different folks I could go on. I tell you how much the Lord cares about time and sinners. What about Zacchaeus being over there and him climbing up in a tree? I believe, now listen to me, friend. You do whatever you want to with this. It's just the way my mind works. How do you know how many years that tree had to be planted there? How the Lord had to keep that thing, I mean, protected by the side of the road? However time that a mule would get ready to step on it, that the hand of God would just nudge him the other way. Every time a mule get ready to nibble up, have that little sprout that came up, I mean, whenever the seed was planted, how God had to make sure the birds didn't get it, how it got down in the ground in a dry land, how God had to water that thing and bring up the sun and let the tree grow up, and then one day the tree was full grown, and here come a man. And the Bible said when the Lord walked by at the place, and he turned and stood and looked up to Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And that's the timing of the Lord, amen. And listen, he could have said, "Well, my best time's behind me, and my best days are over." I mean, we preach so much about the woman in John 4. But I'm telling you, thank God, her life was a wreck, amen. I mean, she's a living with a fella, have been divorced 5 times. This wasn't 2024. Amen, America, you understand that? I mean, now that might be not necessarily uncommon in our day, but way back then, thank God. I mean, you done been married 4 or 5 times. 5 times, and now you're shacked up with somebody. That was not socially acceptable, amen. And she just as liable to get stoned on her way back and forth. But aren't you glad, thank God, the Lord had just showed up right on time. I mean, right at the very time she'd be there, and right when she'd be going by the well, and the Lord said he must needs go by Samaria. I mean, I'm saying you can trust his timing, amen. You can trust it. What about lost folks? And I mean, I think so many times, Holly, about that thief standing on the side of the Lord. I mean, what if he'd have died the day before? What if it had died the day after? Oh, but listen, on that day it was perfect timing. Now I promise you, he's looking back and he thought, "I'm not much interested in going to the cross and dying, but it was the sovereign providence of God to put him right next to the darling Savior, right when he needed to be there." And he put him close enough, thank God, and he could hear those words that ushered forth from my Savior's lips, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to thank God, listen, the Lord cared so much, as you said, he cared so much about time. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm telling you, friend, listen, the Lord cares about time. He cares about time whenever you're sorrowing, and he's always on time, and it's rarely when we think he'll show up, amen. And that's the blessing about it. And we're like they are over in John chapter 11. And we say, "Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother hadn't died." We say, "We need you to show up now." And then we keep praying and the Lord ain't showed up. And then by the time he gets there, we say, "Lord, it's already too late." And the Lord's like, "Do you remember who you're talking to?" Amen. And thank God, God never has been early and he never has been late. He's always right on time. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. Even when it doesn't make sense to us, if you're going to follow the Lord, and the one thing you're going to have to get settled down on the inside of your heart is that his timing can be trusted. Amen. Can be. Now I thought about this. I want you to watch your Bible. You can find that there's a truth that can be tested. Here's what the Lord said. He said, and verse number 5 said, "Master answered, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But then he said, nevertheless, at thy word." Boy, I like that. Amen. Here's essentially what they said. They said, "We know it doesn't make any sense on the outside. The best time's behind us, and we ain't caught nothing. The fish ain't biting tonight. Nobody else has caught nothing." But he stops right there, and they said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." I want you to listen to me, friend. I'm glad to tell you said 31,102 of them verses right there. And bless God, 7,487 promises. You know, I think about every one of them. Every every one of them can be tested fully to the extent. There's a lot of things that I know God won't do, but I'll tell you one of them is it's impossible for God to lie. Everything God ever has said. And now you can't try, listen, let me just, while I'm standing here, how many of y'all know that the kingdom of God's an upside down kingdom as far as man's concerned? Amen. It's upside down, doesn't make any sense. I mean, listen, look at me, friend. It doesn't make any sense to the natural man. He says, if you want to be first, why, you got to be last. Amen. Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? If it says you want to be full, you got to be hungry. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you want to be exalted, you got to be humbled. Well, that's opposite direction. If you want to be great, you got to be the least. And that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the whole kingdom of God. If you want to live, hey, you got to die, man. I mean, everything he says, it goes against our natural carnal mind. Amen. Folks are sitting around, they're trying to figure it out. One of the best things I guess I've ever heard is that day that Brother Delmer Savage said, he said, you can try to figure out salvation and what it is to serve God if you want to, but you'll never figure it out. And then he said, I don't understand how electricity works, but I ain't going to sit in the dark till I figure it out. Amen. Ain't that right? Now you can sit around and be trying to figure out in your mind how God's going to do all the things that he's going to do, and you won't never be able to figure it out. We're going through this thing. We're going to say, God, how are you going to do this? How could you help me here? How could you save me after I've done this? I mean, how my whole life's a wreck. How are you going to do all these things? You ain't got to have that whole thing figured out. I'll tell you what you do have to do. You just got to surrender to the Word of God, and he'll fix everything else. You know why some folks don't get born again by the grace of God? And now listen, you know why some folks don't get saved and engaged? Because they're waiting to clean themselves up. And they say this, well, I'll get this right. And then Nate, they'll say, well, I'll get that fixed up. And now they go through their life talking about all the things. They'll say, well, if, you know, I'll get married first, and then I'll get saved, or I'll start trying to live right, and then I'll get saved, or I'll quit this, or I'll quit that, and I'll get saved. And they're going to lean on their natural mind until they die and go to hell. But I'll tell you what you do, friend. Hey, you just come to Christ and just bring him everything you are. And just bring him all the mess just as it is. And bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ and see if God doesn't fix it from the inside out. Amen. Amen. You got to surrender to the will of God. Look here, friend. You ain't never going to have none of this figured out. You ain't never going to have none of this figured out. You can't figure out somebody who's so much higher than us. Hey, listen, not only is his ways higher than our ways, his ways are better than our ways. He ain't even got to figure out what. I mean, you just let the Lord drive, and boy, he'll get you where you need to get. You got to be willing to surrender.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Yeah. And then you got to be willing to obey. Oh, here's where it gets, listen, this makes me so happy I can't hardly stand it. I've already preached on it once, and if it's worth preaching on it before, it's worth preaching on again. One of my favorite things in that whole Bible is whenever he comes over there and the Lord says, you need to let down your nets for a drought. Nets. Nets. And you know what they did, Elijah? They just let down a net. You know what they was doing? They was trying to half-heartedly obey the Lord. They're trying to please the Lord and at the same time lean on their own understanding. And they say, I'll tell you what we'll do, Lord. We'll just let down a net. We'll just let down a net. And the Lord didn't correct them. He didn't say, you fellas better look down two or three. There's a whole school of fish just waiting on my command. You better dump it all out. You better get ready. It's a coming. No, the Lord just let them make that little half-hearted decision. And they put in their little half-hearted sins, and they halfway obeyed the Lord. Any of y'all ever just halfway obeyed the Lord, y'all? I mean, you know, you do what you know is right, but at the same time, you ain't trying to really please God with it. It's just half-hearted obedience. Let's call it partial obedience. And the last time I checked, partial obedience is complete disobedience. Amen. And so the Lord said, let down your nets. And they said, we'll just put down one. I'll tell you, it got Eve in trouble whenever Eve was talking to the serpent. And that old serpent said, what did the Lord say? Thou shalt not surely die. And Eve responded, brought it back, that we shall not touch the tree. Well, the Lord never did say that. Hey, you understand one word, God, her hooks. Amen. Hey, what about old Saul over there? Whenever the Bible says that, hey, listen, he spared Agag and all the best. And then that old man of God came up and they said, hey, we've done the whole will of God. Just exactly what God said to do. And the old man of God said, what mean the bleeding of sheep in my ears? And they said, well, we've kept the best. See, that made sense to them. Keep the best. But that's not what the Lord asked for. The Lord asked for them to destroy the whole thing. And them old fellas, they dropped down their nets in obedience to the word of God. Dropped down their net. They said, can you just see them? They're like them old Baptists, you know. They just let down the net. And they said, when's this thing going to be over? We're ready to go back, get out of the boat. We're ready to go to Dairy Queen. Yeah. We're ready to beat everybody else to Garcia's. Chinese restaurant. We just want to beat the crowd. When's this thing going to be over and we can get out of here? They said, Lord, we'll let down that one net. Well, you can just almost watch the Lord standing there watching them. And you say, I mean, listen, if you're gonna follow the Lord, follow Him wholeheartedly. Amen. With every fiber of what you are, follow the Lord. It's not benefiting you. It's not pleasing Him. And it's not helping anybody around you by being half-heartedly obedient. So they let down their net. They find out the truth can be tested. You know what happens next? They get more than they expected. Now, I want you to listen to me. Everybody say amen again. Y'all's dying on me. I want you to listen to me, friend. You know what happened in their life when they did what the Lord said to do at a time they didn't want to do it? Y'all listen to me? They didn't want to do that, Lisa. And they did it anyhow. They didn't want to be there, and they're there anyway. They're testing the truth that He said. And when they put that thing down on there, now they talking about ships, you get in your mind like they're on a cruiser, and they ain't. I mean, they ain't. They're on what's a little bit bigger than a John boat for me and you. I mean, that's their ships in those days. I can show them to you. They're on these little old things, and they put those net down. No, Simon thinks I ain't going to get nothing. And all of a sudden, the force that fills his net was more than he ever bargained for. I want to tell you this. I don't know very many things, Joe, but I can tell you this for sure. If we'd be willing to just go serve the Lord with all our heart, you'd find out that you'll get more than you ever bargained for in this thing. I mean, I'm telling you, whenever God says to drop your net, just drop your net. Listen, God says to get right, just get right. God says to follow Him, and just follow the Lord. You won't find not one person that's completely sold out to the Lord that says, man, the Lord sure changed me. Not one. You find a lot of people that's half-heartedly and they're trying to figure out what all the fuss is about. But you ain't never came across one. Not one. Not, look here. Not one. Not one. Are you listening to me? Whether they was 3, 30, 100 years old, however old they was when they was a follower of the Lord, you ain't never came across one that tried to give the Lord everything they had at whatever point it was that said, man, Lord. You know what they all would say to you? It's better. That's Joshua mentioned, I'm about to be done, but I want you to listen to me. Joshua made mention in Sunday school in Philippians chapter number 1. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is. How'd he know that? Y'all ever wonder, how'd Paul know that it's far better? He's not reading about it in 1 Thessalonians, brother. He doesn't have 1 Corinthians. He's never read Revelation 21 and 22. He's never read none of that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Apostle Paul says, I know a man. I know a man. He said, above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. And boy, he says, such a one was called up to the third heaven. And when he got up there and he got to looking around, he said, man alive. You know what he said about it? Far better. Far better. I got to wondering about how he knew henceforth there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. How'd he know that, Nathaniel? You reckon when he was called up in that third heaven, the Lord just... maybe the Lord just took that thing out there and he said, hey, Paul, this is what's coming for you. Just keep being faithful. It'll be tested. Paul gets ready to die and he says, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, time my departure's at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up. Now, here's the blessed part, Jesse, is when he says, not for me only.
That's right. Amen. Thank the Lord.
You reckon the Lord showed him your crown too? He said, right there's one for O'Kim Bulls. He said, go ahead and pin that down in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and let him read about it. Right there's one for Bobby Coger. Go ahead and pin that thing down and let them know what's waiting on them if they'll just follow the Lord. All right, last thing, y'all. I want you to stay with me. Y'all stay with me. Give me 3 more minutes. Y'all do that. I'll preach for 30 or however long the Lord wants me to, but I want you to watch this. The truth can be tested and the timing can be trusted, but I want you to watch this. The treasures can be traumatic. You know what sank their ship almost? It wasn't their burdens. That all those things that was so such a blessing, it almost sunk them. Could I tell you one thing I know about people in general? I mean, I ain't been in this thing a real long time, but I've been in it long enough to know the people of God do far better under a burden than they do under a blessing. And you know why the churches ain't doing too good in America anymore? No burdens, all blessings. We don't handle blessings very well. We do just exactly what the Bible said not to do in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We get our bellies full. We get our houses built. And we forget about God. You understand the one thing. Now watch this. Stay with me. The treasure that they so desperately wanted almost sunk their whole boat. Almost sunk their ship. Their treasures. They can be traumatic. Now watch it. When they get done, the one thing they'd always wanted, no doubt, what's the biggest fish you ever caught? Big one. It's a big one, whatever that is. Let's say it's a 13-pounder. I'll tell you, in the moment that Nathaniel Linder was reeling in the biggest fish he'd ever caught, he was probably so excited he couldn't stand it. But standing here today, he don't even remember what it was. Are you listening to me? All these things that we so heartily go after with all of our hearts, we say, man, let me kill the biggest buck. Put that thing on my wall. Then you know what's going to happen at judgment seat of Christ? It ain't going to mean one cotton-picking thing. They went after it. They could have said, this is the biggest catch we ever got. And you know what they did at the end of that chapter? The Bible says they forsook all. It didn't even matter no more. It's amazing how whenever you'll get right with God, these things outside won't make no difference at all. And I want you to listen to the last thing. I'm done. Whenever the Lord finally deals with their hearts, you know what they start off being called in this passage? They start off being called fishermen. Go look and read it. Called fishermen. Fishermen. But by the time they get done with their fishing lesson, you'll never find again in the Scripture where they are ever referred to as fishermen again. You know what happened? They got their identity fixed. They was no longer interested in all those other things.
is only Jesus Christ. I'm asking you this. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. If the Lord were to get on your boat this morning, let's say it like this, get in your row this morning, I wonder how many folks here would really be in that place where they're interested in being sold out to the Lord.